Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our third episode for 2023. Arthi, welcome.
Yeah, nice to be here again.
You getting more sleep?
Yeah, I am getting a bit more sleep.
But you're still in the Red Bulls, I see.
Oh, Red Bull, my coffee's sitting here waiting for me. My wife's a trooper. She's doing very well. She's taking all the lack of sleep and waking up in the middle of the night with the feeds. So,
is it your first one?
First one, yeah. So
gets better after about 4 years.
I feel like there's better purpose right now. So I'm on a roll right now. So everything's good.
Well, that's good. It's nice to see you fresh, and also a great start of the year for you and your business. I know that for a fact. So that's good for golf, huh?
Very good for golf. The golf industry is in a good place at the moment.
Well, this morning is definitely a personal one for me as well, and somebody that's played a tremendous role in golf in South Africa and around the world. I mean, if we're going to start speaking about some of the placements that Andy has done around the world. And we're very honored to have this morning Andrew McKenna. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
So Andrew McKenna, I'll let him do all the talking today. Andy, but a lot, you're very below the radar. You know, you, when you obviously Google your name, there's a lot of stuff that would come up that, you know, your credibility in the game of golf and golf business and management, I would say, if you speak to people, is one that everybody looks up to. So really well done on creating all of that. But tell us a little bit about you and tell us about your academy. Mm-hmm. And also just dive a little bit more into your personal journey to where you are today.
Okay. Well, my parents are Scottish. I grew up in all over the place. I moved around a lot as a kid. And then when I moved to Scotland, when I was about 15, golf got me. So I was too late to get a Scottish accent, but I've got Scottish blood, and I played all the junior stuff growing up. And then by the time I was 22, I was doing decently as a pro. And in 97, I got my European Tour card, which was a big deal for me at the time. And there were some things I tried to do. I fell into the terrible trap of trying to change my swing too much and trying to hit the ball further, and I lost my golf. But I was so captivated by the golf swing that I started to coach some of the guys I was playing against. And in about 2002, I decided that economically I wasn't making enough money to carry on playing, and I got into the coaching side of the game.
And that side of the world?
Yeah. And so I was based in Surrey in the UK. And then 2008, I'd played a lot of golf on the Sunshine Tour. Well, in my playing days, and I love South Africa. I think South Africa's, if you can make it in South Africa, it's the best place to live in the world, I think. So I moved down here, and I was fortunate enough to get the opportunity at Silver Lakes, where I'm still based. And I started the academy there, and I just wanted to create a sort of, my entrepreneurial side kicked in, and I wanted to create a sustainable academy. I put some education in there, and that's what's blown up, really. It's the African Turf Academy, along with all the performance side, fitting, gym. I've got an amazing trainer on site now. He's been there for about 3 years, Zander Goos. He was the SA Boys champion, one of only five guys, I believe, to win the SA Boys stroke play and match play. Went to the US and on a golf scholarship, and is now the head of our sports fitness side, which he's doing really well. And the African Turf Academy started, and I went to the R&A, and I wanted it to be credible, and John Deere, I tried to get the best brands involved in it, and it started off in 2012, and that's now probably stretching it a bit, but it's where most golf courses come to for staff now. You know, our students are snapped up before they graduate. The Troons, the golf course in the UK, Australia, America, Dubai, US.
Troon is the golf management company that Troon does courses.
They've got 680 golf courses around the world they manage, and they're looking to us to supply them with staff. I mean, it's almost an impossible task, but every single student who graduated last year is already working. There's not one student who didn't want to be in the workplace who is not around the world. Obviously, we have the golf performance side to that, and it's very much a mixture of the two. But it's attracting a lot of guys who just want to go into the golf management side.
Why did you start that business? So you go from the coaching, and like you said, the entrepreneurial side kicked in. But did you see a gap? Where did the course, so RNA, is that where you go and train on it?
I think in business you need a bit of luck as well. I was looking at the industry. There was a lot of the PGA academies. There was several places they could study the PGA. And I was managing Silver Lakes Golf Club as well at the time. And I understood the importance of the golf course in terms of the members and the golf experience, how important it is to play on a good quality golf course. I think South Africa was spoilt with that, the climate and the sunshine. You can produce good golf courses. And there was just nothing being trained in that side. So I sent some emails out into open, cyberspace, and I got some traction. And then it was just, can I get the right partners on board? The RNA came on board and sponsored, they supported the program. They still do. John Deere came on, and they also give us scholarships. We're now accredited in the South African education bodies, SAQUA. We're busy with the CHE, which is the university status at the moment, so you're going to be able to do a degree with us as well. But in terms of why we started, it was just a little bit of luck, and I saw a gap. I went for it.
And while we're just on that subject, I wanted to bring it up a bit later, but just talk a little bit about the placements around the world, because that's so incredible. Golf is growing in South Africa, but also you would think it's coaching, it's fitting, or perhaps I'm going to become a player. There's not a lot of people that necessarily think that way, and you've obviously spurred that on in the last decade. But just tell me a little bit about your placements around the world, because some of the courses that some of the guys are getting snapped up, one, to think that out of Pretoria somewhere, the world wants those type of students that come out of your academy. Honestly, Andy, that is a massive, massive compliment to you. Because we are such a small part of golf from a volume perspective. When you go to the States and you talk about 38 million golfers, and you talk about 185 to 240, depending on which stat you look at. What does it take from the beginning to create that credibility? Is it the partnerships that you form? What gives you so much credibility?
Now, I think going back to your first question, for me, everyone wants to be a professional golfer. Everyone wants to play the tour. Everyone wants to be the next Rory McIlroy. But how many guys do that? And how good do you have to be? I mean, I know you've had some of the top players on here, but South Africa's got a very high percentage of guys who do make it. I mean, I was at the Open Championship. I go most years, and I think this year there was 15 of the 150 players were South African, 10% of the field. And you're talking about stats. There's in the US there's 17,000 golf courses. South Africa got 450, and there's 10% of the whole field of a major championship South African. So it is a realistic dream to become a professional golfer, but there's a lot of guys who get disappointed as well, and somewhere along the line they fall off the tour, and then they have to do something else anyway. They might have made it for a while, and I was one of those guys. And I was fortunate that I had done my PGA qualification. So when I fell off the tour in 20 years ago, I had something to fall back on, and one guy gave me a bit of advice when I was struggling with that transition in my life from trying to be a tour player. They said, stick to what you know. And it was probably one of the best bits of advice I ever had. And I was just able to follow the pathway into the industry. So that's what I wanted to recreate, is an opportunity into the industry if they don't make it. Now it's sort of balanced out by guys who specifically want to go down that route. In terms of the credibility, I thought it was really important that happened. I think maybe there was a lot of startups in the field that didn't get that. And over time, time is a very, it's almost like a key benchmark for credibility as well. Can you last the test of time? The RNA support and John Deere's support in the early days was critical. And we were able to stand the test of time. And that's when credibility kicks in and the word gets out there and it just starts to filter through the industry. The golf industry is big, but it's also small.
And I don't want to carry on in that pin, but it's Middle East, Africa, Europe, and America.
Australia.
Australia?
Yeah. And India. We've got...
Okay.
And obviously South Africa, Angola.
Yeah.
There's a fantastic new golf course being built in Angola, just south of Luanda. They're very ambitious. Two of our students are in there. I fly up there every so often. We consult to them. So we're helping Africa. I've been to the DRC last year to go and help them with their greens and their golf academies. It's looking like we're going to probably open a golf school in Angola now. There's a huge expat story over there with the mining and the coal and the gas, and those guys want sports academies and they want schooling, and that's an exciting project coming soon.
Well, we will have you back on when that happens. And it just some of the placements around the world, because, we're not trying to hop onto anything here, but some of those names is what viewers wanted to hear. I saw Bay Hill was in there.
Yep.
St. Andrews.
Yep. But one of our graduates is the assistant at St. Andrews now, yeah.
You know?
On the old course.
And what else are you very proud of on courses and placements so far? What stands out to you?
Well, the second in command at the Emirates is a graduate of ours. Our graduates always go to Emirates every year. At the Golf Club of Abu Dhabi is managed by one of our graduates, the Education City in Qatar, St. Andrews, of course. There's some in Germany. Probably another one is there's a young lad from Bethel. He was the
Bethel Free State.
Yeah, Bethel Free State. He was the most nervous boy that I've ever had in the interviews. Like I meet every student who enrolls in our program. I make sure I do that. And he was nervous, and he was just a little boy from the Free State. And he did really well on the academy. He was committed. He was passionate. He was a scratch golfer, so he wasn't going to make it as a pro, but he was still a very good golfer. And he went to Abu Dhabi with Troon, and he did a year with them, and they gave him such good reviews. I got a call from a golf course in the Bahamas being built by Crenshaw and Core, probably the biggest or the hottest golf course designing company at the moment in the world. And they're building a golf course in St. Lucia in the Caribbean. And he's there now. He posts about him going out on his water ski, and he's doing so well. So a little lad from Bethel found his passion and is excelling in the industry. So that's a nice story as well.
That's
it's probably why I do it. I love those stories. I want the success of the student. It's the cornerstone of what I do. And I spend most of my time making sure that these students are placed and in work, because there's no point coming to the academy and then leaving without a pathway. The pathway is the key.
So there's obviously different factors to your business, and just staying on this particular one, what do I have to prepare myself for as a kid that's maybe ambitious to work in golf, maybe not the coaching or the fitting or the professional side? What do I start focusing on as parents and as a kid to... And how do I get into your academies? What's the process like?
Well, there's various angles to the academy. We've just opened a Mshlali Country Club in Natal, which is now doing really well. Got an amazing golf coach down there, Emil Steinman. So we've put in a school there. So you can now do schooling with an online system called Evolve. So the kids go to school, and afterwards they're doing their golf performance, fitness and psychology. So that's a start. If you're already in a big school in Pretoria, I don't do it in Pretoria and Silver Lakes. There's so many top schools in Pretoria. There's no need for us to put a school in there. So there's a lot of, I'm fortunate to be in an amazing estate, Silver Lakes, 1700 homes. So there's a captive market in there. And if you look at on the golf RSA, results, there's a lot of Silver Lakes players playing from there, so the estate has got an amazing junior participation. So in terms of getting involved with the academy, there's many ways. You can come for fitting, you can come for fitness, you can come for one-on-one coaching, you can come for a more established structure in junior golf. Last year the under 15 national champs was at Boerland. It held at Boschenmeer and Pearl Valley. All six of the Gauteng North players were Silver Lakes juniors, and they won the national champs. So that was I was asked to manage the team, and it was quite a thrill. It was quite a thrill to see these young boys beat all the rest of the guys in that age group in the country.
But that's important to mention just to anybody that would be interested in this type of field is I see you've got psychology also incorporated into it, and now full fitness. You've built a beautiful fitness facility at that at the estate as well, or at your side of the golf side. Why was that important for you to do?
Well, I just wanted a holistic program that covered all the angles of everything. Psychology, obviously, is life skills as well. These youngsters, they need to have the tools to get through. I never had that when I was growing up. I did a lot of psychology education studies and some qualifications for myself, and it really impacted my life personally. But I think for them, just to understand the thinking process and what they're doing, and fitness to be able to function and move properly. I don't think it's anything that's revolutionary in golf that what we're doing. It's just we're just trying to cover all the bases, and then should the guys not make it, we've got a pathway into an amazing industry as well. So it's trying to cover everything.
So it's the African Turf Management, which is the course management side. Then there's the Junior Academy, which I know is also very big for you in both Mhlali and in Silver Lakes. So I'm a parent today. Do I just contact you?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're
at
in the
what
area,
age, how does it work?
If you want them to join the African Turf Academy, that's a post-matric qualification. Okay. So once they've done the matric and they're interested in golf and they want to pursue professional golf or into the industry, we take enrollments once a year. So they've just started in Silver Lakes. We were completely full quite a long time ago. So the enrollments we're taking enrollments now for 2024. So it's a good time to be on your show. Mhlali is up and running now. We're in our second year there. We had a really nice intake there too. And then the school in Mhlali. So really on our website, mckennaacademies.com, is all the information, and then you can filter over to African Turf Academy or the Learning Lab, we call it in the schooling, or into the Performance Academy where we've got the fitness and the coaching. So we can handle it from the website, yeah.
And you don't have to live in Silver Lakes whatsoever,
no, eh? No. Mhlali, Natal's never had an academy before. I think Arthur's from Natal. And we are sort of pioneering in that area. And it's when I go down there, everyone's talking about it, but it's still new to them. And we've just become the head of KZ in golf. So Emil's going to look after the IPT team from the academy, which is exciting. We were told we were never going to crack that KZN Golf Union, but they welcomed us with open arms, which was really nice. And yeah, so you don't have to live in the estates, no. You can be from surrounding areas, or you can come from afar.
And I know that all of this growth, you know, you are the only owner of that academy now. And there's been a lot of growth. But just also to people, you know, you're also self-funded. You know, and I just wanted to bring that up in the sense of that it's possible to do that in business. You know, you don't always have to have big conglomerates involved, build your credibility, start at a particular point and grow that academy. And in your view, what I always found with you, your open-mindedness to even competitors or people that are also doing that, because it grows the game of golf. And part of your vision on your website is where you want to contribute towards the game of golf, locally and on a global scale. Has that always been a mindset of yours?
Yeah, I think I've never wanted to be seen to be trying to lead anything. I've always taken the approach to support rather than lead. And I think that mindset changes the way you go about your business. And I've also tried to do it from an infinite, that this thing must outlast me. You know, I'd love it to carry on. So to sell it or to get investors on board to grow it too quickly, I don't particularly like that. It's just something that I wanted to do over time, slowly. As we can afford it, we expanded. So to go to Mhlali was a big step. It was scary. It's starting to work now, which is, you know, the open day. It gives you a lump in your throat when you see a bit of paper, a proposal that you take to a golf estate, and then you take the plans to the local council to build, and then everything's just on paper. And when it becomes an actual building, that's exciting. And then when people start enrolling, you get a little bit emotional about it. So there was one afternoon I was sitting with Emil at the after the open day, and I almost cried, and I was like, "What's?" I didn't know what was going on because it was a bit emotional.
You're also involved with a lot of rugby players and coaching on them. And Andy, yes, this is so that the show clips this particular section a little bit. But I see you do a lot of coaching for the rugby guys. How did that come about? Is that a big thing? Is it because they live in the estate? How does that work?
One of our clients at the academy was a guy called Len Olivier. He used to play professional rugby. I think he played for the Bulls, but he definitely played in France. And we met and started chatting. And he had a company called Rugby Travel, and he used to take kids overseas. And in lockdown, he really started to struggle with that. And I started talking about what I do in the academy. And I said to him, you need to start Rugby Travel Academy. And I was going to become a partner in the business. But as I've said earlier, I'm not that keen on all that stuff and complicating things. So Len went on his own with the Rugby Travel Academy. And he's done really, really well. I think he's got 60 enrollments this year in the Rugby Academy. And we do their education for them. So we do a business management qualification and sports management qualification, which is done through the South African Qualifications Authority. And so the rugby boys come in to class every week and do qualification. So it's to try and, you know, it's the same thing, but it's just in another sport. So in Natal, we're going to bring tennis into our academy. There's a great tennis facility in Mshlali Country Club.
Yeah.
A good tennis coach called Roger Ferrandi. And I'm talking to Roger now about him doing a tennis component to our school. We'll do the sports, fitness, psychology, and he'll do the tennis, and the kids can come and do golf or tennis or both. The rugby guys, the rugby academy is going really well. I'm happy for Len. He's doing an amazing job. He's great on social media, and it's just nice to be in another field as well. As called rugby is such a big thing in South Africa, of course.
Did you go to Michael de Jong and speak to him a little bit about the tennis academy?
I was talking to Michael last night about coming on this show, but I have spoken to Michael. I've spoken to Kevin Curran. I've spoken to Danny Fisser. I mean, everyone knows who Kevin Curran is. Danny Fisser also lives in Silver Lakes. He won 3 Grand Slams in doubles, was world number one. But it's difficult to get those guys to drop back down to actually working again. They like the good life.
Yeah.
So Roger's probably is going to be the guy who does it. He's based on site, so we'll use him. But I'm going to try and get Michael and Darnie to come to our opening of that.
Yeah. And just it's something completely random, but paddle tennis, did that come up at all as an option? Because paddle tennis is just growing.
Booming, yeah.
Booming, phenomenally. Yeah. I mean, Bryanston just put 6 courts, I think, in.
Yeah, yeah.
Dane
has just done 6 courts.
Who?
Irene Country Club.
Oh, have they also done?
And they're fully booked.
Yeah. Mm. Has Silver Lakes got paddle tennis yet? That's strange.
I heard a rumor the other day that maybe.
But yeah, they might be coming.
I don't know. I don't have the space on that estate anymore.
So, listen, everybody knows navigating estates, you know, there's always egos involved. There's always
boards involved.
Huh?
Boards.
Committees.
Boards and committees and stuff like that. But how have you found navigating through business? I mean, I know, and I'm not going to go into all the details, but you've got some great commercial agreements on the spaces that you are in. You know, that's a big challenge. Do you find that very challenging, or just good relationships, honest relationships, and to get the work done? How do you navigate all of that?
A bit of all of that. I was lucky. I was the director of golf at Silver Lakes for 7 years and sat on the other side. So Silver Lakes took me 9 months to chat to before I signed the contract back in 2010. I was like, come on, I want to get going. But you've got to understand that it's a process. It's a journey. You put in a proposal. It goes to the golf committee. It goes to the HOA committee. It comes back down to the golf committee. It goes back up again. And then it takes time. When I went to Mshlali, I understood that process. I was prepared for it. I knew where to start. If the concept's good and they like it, you can get going. Like at Mshlali, the club captain, Alvin Ells, who also was in the golf industry for a while, used to be a shareholder in the Callaway brand in South Africa, but he loved it straight away, and it still took me 9 months to sign a contract at Mshlali. So the club captain, the GM immediately, Derek Renker, he also supported it. Then it went to the Golf Exco, then it went to the Estate Exco. Then I had to go to the special general meeting. I had to present to the estate, the homeowners, the actual people who live there. They came. I thought there was going to be about 10 people pitch up. 200 people pitched up.
You know, that must have been daunting.
Yeah, it was daunting. But it all went well, and if you follow the steps and you're honest and you've got a good business plan and you've got integrity, it's doable.
Well, the counter...
Not easy.
Yeah.
And you need to be patient.
I think a Scottish accent helps him a bit more as well.
I tell you,
we were chatting the other day. We were watching some clips like...
Was Callaway.
Callaway clips on the new Paradigm. Okay. Now, you listen to the American accent and everything just sounds amazing and bigger and greater with that accent. Mm. If you have an Afrikaans guy talking about the Paradigm driver, I promise he's not going to go that far. So maybe the accent helps you. Maybe. But.
So yes, after 13 years, you know, the counter to that is you've go through a 9-month process, but 13 years later, you're still there. Mm. But exactly what I wanted to ask earlier and throw it in there, because I think his British accent has now certainly helped, you know, because if you know Andy, I mean, he's a South African, as any South African that is born and bred here, and I would say even a little bit further. But there's no doubt about it that the British accent, no matter what you do, it certainly helps
you
and
just
it
think
gives
about
an authority.
Bound.
Yeah.
Bound. I was born in South Africa.
I know you were born, but you've certainly got a British accent, yeah. And that's obviously because of a long history that side.
But I'm South African by choice. Eh?
Yeah, South African by choice. You choose to live here.
Some people say I love living in South Africa because I've got a British passport.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true. You know, made me think a bit. But
what's one decision you would have made 5 years ago if you knew what you knew now?
5 years ago, I left my job at the club just to go on my own. It was scary, but it was the right time, and I just tried to be... you know, live within my means and take my time to try and get the business first on its feet and be patient and not try and be in any way lavish in my lifestyle to make sure the business was safe. I still try to do that, but I think it would be more advice is just don't go. A lot of people tell me I should go to the banks and roll out my academies across 10 sites all at once. I'm like, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if I did that. I might have a business that's...
It's because you care so much?
Yeah. There's a saying, manage what you can control and control what you can manage. And I refer back to that because I'm not clever enough to own a business with 400 employees. I struggle with the 20 that I've got. I think I'm lucky to have 20 great ones, but you need to look after your people. I think the good income that my staff and my coaches and trainers and they make a good living. I've got very low staff turnover. I don't think some of my coaches have been with me for 12 years. You know, I try not to. I don't want to have to replace staff, so I try and create models that they works for them, and then the sustainability, and it makes it easier. But I don't know if I would do anything different. I don't know.
Well, that's amazing. It tells that you're a very conscious businessman. You're a very conscious person. You think things through. And there's not much regret in those decisions that you made.
Success comes over time, from making mistakes to making good decisions, and it all eventually gets to one result. So, you know, whether you've made mistakes or not, your journey is your journey, and you are where you are.
Made loads of mistakes.
Mm. Yeah.
But because...
Give us some of your mistakes.
Well, probably the frustration in my team is that I changed my mind a lot. But I do it quickly because I might say something and then I think about it overnight because I'm not great at thinking on my feet. I learned that at the club level where I was in committees, and there were some very clever guys on the committees. I mean, you have doctors and CEOs and you watch them operate in meetings and they just think on their feet. And I was never able to do that. I couldn't keep up. And so what I realized that I had to not commit to anything in meetings. Go home and think about it. And then if the minutes came out, I would try and adjust the minutes of the meeting because I could never stick to what I had said in the meeting because it was just too quick for me.
Yeah.
So that's probably something I've learned about myself is just to admit it. I admit that. I say, listen, I'm not good on my feet. Whatever we chat about here, I need time to think about it. And then I've sometimes changed my mind. It irritates them. And I apologize. So in terms of mistakes, yeah, it's probably been changing my mind a lot.
Shame, Andy. It's such an incredible, humbling way that you approach this. And I think it's why we literally wanted you to come onto the show and just show people that it's, you know, you can always do it with kindness and compassion and also with a little bit of consciousness. And you do that so well. Your way of building relationships, I really look up to. It's absolutely incredible. I think I am still learning and navigating through that time. But you spoke a little bit about your sponsors that was involved and John Deere obviously being a big standout name in South Africa, not just in the golf, but in the agriculture space. But then you're Titleist sponsor. I mean, your Fitting Academy only fits Titleist. It tells me a little bit about you and what you said to us today. It makes it now more sense to me. But why that particular focus and
I've always wanted to be associated and linked with the best brands in the world. And, you know, the RNA, I mean, I hold that. I wear it on my sleeve and my shirts. I was talking to them on the phone on the way down here this morning. I hold that part. I'm not allowed to call it a partnership. They don't like that word. It's a support. They're support of our academy. I hold that very dear to my heart. It's from a company based in my country of blood, and an amazing brand. And to deal with them, you have to be humble, you have to be politically correct, you have to do things the right way, and I try and operate like that. John Deere obviously is a massive brand, probably the biggest agricultural brand out there. Golf, they're in golf. It's probably a tip of the iceberg in terms of business for them. I also, I'm not allowed to wear their logo on my shirt. They don't allow that. I'm allowed to wear it on a cap and on a shirt. So it's one of their brand corporate identity rules. And then Titleist, I mean, it's probably the best holistic brand in golf, the best golf ball, the best wedges, the best putters, the best irons, the best drivers, the best gloves, the best shoes, great clothing. I mean, it's why not? You know, it's like what the other options. There aren't many other options as a holistic brand. And fitting is a part of our business, but it's not the core. It's not a core, and it never will be a core. But so I didn't want to invest in having a brand like True Fit in there unless they wanted to come in, which you can talk about.
he's got good credibility in the fitting world.
Hopefully we can get to Belita in a couple of years. Even sooner.
Yeah, and we can all just fly down there together, 50 minutes, and go and see that part of the world as well.
Yeah, 100%. On Sunday was it Sunday morning? Well, I fly up and down there all the time. But the other morning I flew up, it was 340 rand. Flight. It was like you can't even get halfway.
I mean, from where you came today to the studio was probably costing you 200 bucks.
Yeah. But I think going back to what he was saying about why only Titleist, I think just based on the type of person he is, you know, being loyal, you know, he's loyal to the brand that works with him, that he has on his clothing, and you know, he's sponsored by. Why cluster things and make it complicated? You get what I'm saying? You know the brand, you've played the brand, the brand works, the brand is
keeps evolving.
Yeah, and also it's consistently the best. I'm not gonna say, you know, you can compare it to a Callaway and TaylorMade, and there's always debate about that, but from the bottom to the top, from the ball, shoe, all the way to the driver or to the cap and clothing, it's consistently the best.
Yeah,
no doubt about it. So
Jesse and Leonard Loxton, they look after all our staff, and Greg. So we all are. One bit of advice I had from I rebranded about 4 years ago, and I went to a top branding guy. It cost me quite a lot of money to rebrand. I went to the guy who did the King Price brand, the USM brand, and he helped me a lot to bring the various aspects of the academy together. The African Turf was sitting over here and the Performance Academy was sitting over there. I was like, how do I bring them together? Because they were seen so separately. And now with the school, with the rebranding, I was able to align everything, which was quite an amazing vision that this guy, Quinton, had. He saw it a long time before I did. He saw this happening. and he told me that stop buying your students rubbish golf shirts.
Yeah.
So Greg de Villiers from Acushnet, South Africa, he always gives us, he doesn't give us the shirts, we still buy them, but he gives us a great price, and our students love the shirts that they get. So they wear, you see them wearing them at Brights, you know, if we ever, if they're out, and then, you know, they're wearing our shirt everywhere they go because they love the quality of the product. So being involved with Titleist, so the Titleist help our coaches, they give the coaches the balls every year, shirts every year, so that when they play with the members, they're using the product. So it's a two-way thing. And we do sales as well, so it's a business thing.
Yeah.
But also Titleist associate with good brands and product. It's a fact.
Like I said to you the other day, it was my first bag was Nike, because at that stage, Tiger, even though we know it wasn't Nike clubs, my dad, you know, I fell into that. But then ever since then, I've never known anything else except Titleist, you know, from probably Standard 8 or 1998. So for me, it's also a very special connection to that brand. And one of the things, Andy, that so... You know, everything you've just said to us, and people don't always realize the size of you and the size of your schools, but then to validate it through Liam, your son, you know, his incredible golf journey of where he is. So just tell us a little bit, because I mean, to me, that's the ultimate. Do you coach him through your academy, or have you separated that as an independent? How did Liam go into his journey? Because he's just doing remarkable. And was it through your academy? And I ask that because, you know, sometimes navigating family, you know, is too personal. So what approach did you take on that?
No, I think as a dad, you would love your son to love golf, right? So there's some, I know quite a few dads who love golf and their sons don't love golf and they're quite sad about it. But I'm lucky that my son loves golf. I mean, he comes home from school, drops his bag, and he's straight to the club. So he practices a lot. His golf's in a bit of a funny place at the moment because as he's growing, he's finding it very difficult just to stand to the ball normally. So he gets into funny habits and then he's inconsistent at the moment. So he finished second in the under 13 national champs last year.
It was last year.
He finished birdie, par, birdie, birdie or something in the last round to get to second. And then he has had sporadic spells where he won the Gauteng North under 19 match play champs this year. But he's so in terms of where he's come from, I think he just loves the game. I mean, he sometimes says to me, he calls me Papa. He says, Papa, I just love golf, and he's and his skills around the greens. But he's at Silver Lakes. He's one of many. It's so we've got such a depth of junior talent at the club that they're all pulling through together. As I said, though, he was one of the team that won the national under 15 champs. So there's six or seven guys, and they chop who's chop and change who's doing best at the moment. So there's several of them. He's one of them. I don't want to make him sound that he's so good, but he's doing well. I'm proud of him.
It must be unbelievable living in a golf estate as a kid, getting back from school, literally getting in a golf cart or going to the chipping green and putting and hitting balls all day. That's like the dream.
That's the dream.
Like, honestly.
Yeah,
and then you know they're doing actually something that they're not in trouble.
Yeah,
like they're not doing
so healthy,
so much better, so much better
from a mental side, physical side.
We have to
staying out of trouble.
We had to put floodlights on the putting green at Silver Lakes because the
demand
a few years ago, and we can't get him home. I mean, he does not want to come home. We phone him like 8 o'clock. Wait, I'm on the putting green, and it's like.
You're supposed to be in bed and thinking.
Yeah. I don't want to go to bed. I want to putt. You know, that's and there's a bunch of them. So you'll see a lot of successful. Hopefully, one or two of them get on tour in the next few years. In probably 5 years' time, 4 years' time, they may be good enough to be on tour when they're 18, 19. Who knows?
I think that's such a great way to approach the game. If you can chip and putt. Your ball striking can be average on the day or on the week, and you can still manage your game and be consistent from the scoring aspect, and you can have a very good career. The minute your chipping and putting is not there, you know, you can ball strike the crap out of it. And if you can't get the ball in the hole, your scoring's not there. So that aspect for me, because I was like that as well, I would spend 90% around the green, 10% in the range because I got bored. You just hitting the ball forward, you get what I'm saying. I didn't think about technique back then. I just wanted to hit my targets. But
the best players keep that, right? So yeah. if you watch, obviously we've got quite a few tour pros at Silver Lake as well. Sean Norris and George Katsia both live on site. And when they practice, they do very little on the range and they do a lot around the greens. I mean, Sean, I think, was number one on the European Tour putting this year.
George Katsia also is just ridiculous with the putter.
And chipping. George is always just there chipping. But the juniors, I kind of relate it to learning a language. The juniors, when they learn their short game at a young age, like at the 7, 8, 9, they develop skills that you just cannot teach. You can't you can't teach it. And if you learn golf, like I only started playing golf when I was 14, 15, I didn't ever get those. I was okay, but I didn't have that like incredible touch that these kids have. Like speaking a language, you might be able to learn a language, but the intricacies of a language you only get if you speak it from a young age. And the intricacies of short game. I was playing in a club knockout with Liam a few year or so ago, and on the last hole we were all square. It was a club knockout. It was nothing serious, but his ball landed on the 18th, half on the bunker, in the bunker, and half on the grass. You know that sandy, horrible line. We don't. If you've got any gremlins whatsoever, I don't know what you're going to do there.
Run.
I looked at it, and I was like, and he had to up and down it to win the match, and he nipped it off the sand. And he checked it, and it finished like a centimeter from the hole. I was like, I wouldn't have been able to hit that shot. And that's learning a skill from a very, very young age.
So going, a stupid story. When myself and Eric were on tour, I'll remember this vividly. So we were playing the BMG Classic. Glendower, you'll know the BMG Classic. It's an old Sunshine Tour event. And we were after the round just chipping at the chipping green at Glendower. And Eric says to me, how do you nip the ball and get so much spin on such a short chip? And I had to pause for like five seconds. And I'm like, I've got no answer for you. Because of the time I spent around the green as a junior, no one ever taught me how to chip. I just had it. It was like, you know. And
but you can lose it as well, right?
You can. Well, depends how much time you've put into it.
Yeah.
Like for me, chipping and putting is never going to leave my blood. You know, whether I play once every 2 months, it's ingrained because of all the hours I've spent. And also I don't have demons about that because I've got the confidence about, you know, chipping and putting. And I actually felt stupid because I didn't know how to answer him I also want to, like, I've got that helping. I want to help him as well. Not that he was terrible at chipping, but you know, he was looking for something extra in his chipping. And I couldn't answer him. And I'm trying to figure it out. And I really couldn't answer it. So going back to what he said, it's quite interesting.
Yeah, it's also interesting that if you're really good at something, you don't always know how you do it. And that's why a lot of the top pros, they don't articulate what they do very well. If you listen to Tiger Woods talk about his golf, and you watch what he does, it's not the same. I mean, he with his putting, he talks about releasing the putter a lot. Like he will talk about physically releasing the toe of the putter, but if you watch him putt, his putter stays very square. So what he's feeling and doing, because he's so good, he's not that, I don't know.
Andrew, while I was just sitting here, just hit me in the head that, you know, I thought you would have talked about this technical there and the technicality there and you dived into some of that stuff. But you actually just created a great conducive environment to create great players. You know, even when you say about, I can't teach them that, you know, I can't teach them that feel, I can't teach them that. To me, it's just, that's what I think really just stands out for me here. As a parent, forget the skill, because there's a lot of coaches that can do the skill, train the swing, talk about equipment and technicalities, but I would want my kid to be in that environment, that he not just grows as a golf player, but also becomes, you know, men or women, and becomes just a better person, and that's conducive what you created there. That's really incredible.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons South Africa is doing so well in golf is that there are a lot of great coaches in South Africa. There's several great coaches, and some are traveling on tour, some are at the golf estates, but the emphasis needs to be put on the player. And the player mustn't depend on the coach too much. Obviously, the coach plays a big role, and guiding and keeping the player on track. But the responsibility needs to sit with the player. And sometimes the player blames the coach.
Mm-hmm.
And coaching golf is complicated, but it's also not that complicated. It's pretty, with the technology of FlightScope and the video cameras and that we can, I mean, just 10 years ago, we needed a plug, we needed a PC, we needed a camera, we needed a cable running from the camera.
You'd need a memory card.
You need a memory card. You need to download software to do your swing. But nowadays with your phone, you can have one of your Mevo Pluses, have all the data you could ever want. And just understanding what you're doing to the golf ball is so much better now. So the coaching is massively important, but the emphasis must be on the player, and the kids that love the game are going to do better.
So for parents, if somebody's not listening, it's a mom or a dad, they're going through this journey at the moment, and especially when they're young, I'm still of the opinion, I'm a young dad, not a young dad, I mean my girl's only 4 years old, but I wanted to feel a few things, I wanted to experience a few things, you know. I don't want to right now put her in a place where, okay, it's going to be golf, even though I would really wish that that would be the case. But what advice would you have for parents maybe going through that process right now for their kids? What would you advise them?
Well, if the kid loves the game, then I would support them as much as I can. It's get them to your nearest top golf coach. If you're in the Pretoria area, we'll obviously be delighted to help you at our academy or in Lito. I mean, golf is such a great networking environment as well. Even if you don't become a professional golfer, the skill of learning to play golf later in your life in business, I say that to a lot of parents. If your son doesn't make it at golf, we can take him on a pathway in the golf industry. But also just to learn the game that you can, that is sort of transcends sort of business in terms of, you know, Silver Lakes is such a big networking hub as well as a golfing hub. And golf is used as a vehicle for business networking. So if you can learn the skill and be able to play golf for that purpose as well, that reason. Find a good golf coach. Make sure the fundamentals are in place. If the child is serious and is practicing hard and wants to play tournaments, it's quite a commitment as a parent. I'm a parent traipsing around the country, you know, golf RSA events and the Gauteng North events. It can get expensive following your kid around, but you'll do that for your child if they love the game. But they need to be practicing. And if you can get them into an environment where they can practice and have fun, then they'll get better.
You know, one thing I've learned about golf, you know, even though I've played it my whole life, but now navigating business in golf, the percentage of success in golf is so little. And even the top guys, you know, in a different sport, and we had somebody on recently, in a particular sport, it could be a 90% high. But in golf, it's almost 90% low.
9.9%
low, and it's, you know, a 1% high.
So you're talking about success as a player.
Yeah, success as a player, you know,
But success comes in many forms, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why African Turf Academy started to mitigate that risk, you know, to say, okay, the chance of you becoming a player is 1 in 1,000. The chance of you having a successful career in the industry, we can do that for you.
Yeah.
You know, if you come on the journey of ours, you're going to travel the world. You're going to be employed in any country that you want to. And the visas are opening up in Europe for some reason. We can get you into Europe into a working environment, so the success in golf can be a lot bigger than the 1 in 1,000. It can be 100% if you have both pathways opened up.
I also think from a structure point of view that golf provides for individuals is huge. You know, from if you take golf principles, you know, you've got to be really determined, you've got to practice, you've got to, you know,
self-discipline, accountability,
you've got to have the mindset to do it. And going back a step, if I started TrueFit before I played on tour, probably wouldn't be existing right now. But going through the tour process and, you know, the commitment, the structure, you know, grinding it out, you know, it teaches you a lot of valuable lessons. Just golf, you know, playing the game. I think that's why a lot of businessmen also play the game, because it gives you all those advantages, you know. And if you can take that skill from the golf course mentally, you know, to your life, I mean, it's part and parcel.
Well, thank you for all the impact you make on so many parents, because Andy, as a parent now, maybe a few years ago, it would have been a completely different view. I feel so safe to send them to your academy, knowing that they're under great leadership and great hands. And the coaches that you have, you know, I'll just say from a personal experience, they are driven, they are valued driven, and really engages with you on such a professional level always. They are great brand ambassadors walking around all around the country now. And we wish you all the best, everybody there and everybody that's with you, all the students that are coming with you, all the placements you are doing around the world. You know, I don't even want I want people to really go onto your website, and this is not a sales punt, but just go look at some of the placements that you've done. I mean, I don't know a lot of people that has that track record, and we are very honored and privileged this morning to spend some time with you. And I think that people will find real value out of these conversations today.
Thanks for having me on. It's been fun.
Thanks, Arthi, from my side to you as well.
No, thanks for your time. I definitely learned a couple of things from you today, and I think you educated me a lot on what you do. I know I've got a lot of customers that have kids that don't know where to go, you know, so from my side, I also think I've got a better understanding and vision where to actually, you know.
And girls, I mean, golf's often seen as a male sport, and in the profession of golf, it's very male orientated, and the demand is out there to find good young girls to walk the path. And the US would love us to send them more girls. So if there's any girls who are, you know, interested in the managing of golf courses and a journey in golf, there's a big desire to get more girls out there.
We're very excited. We've actually lined up now a few of that, because I think, Andy, you're so right. And I'll tell you, in the last 3 years, it feels to me it's just exploding on the girls' front. You know, the competitions they're putting together at the moment, the TV time that's happening. I mean, and also some of the mindsets. I mean, if you look at Cassandra Hall that just won
Sun City.
I mean, just look at how she approaches the game. You know, her fitness, her build. You know, I laugh. We played a round of golf with her a while back, and not a single mate of mine, literally, she would outdrive them 80 meters right across them. So I think that the approach has also been skilled up, and ladies like that takes it forward, where you can't just get up from the couch and go play the game and expect it to be successful. There's a lot of grind that goes into it. And what we don't see is the grind, but that's ultimately the separator, because all we see is TV time and whether you make the cut or not.
Yeah, the grind is a funny expression, because I don't see the top players feeling it as a grind. I mean, Sean Norris will come back from Japan. He will land in the morning on a Wednesday morning, and at 12 o'clock, he'll have come off a 12-hour flight or 15-hour flight from Tokyo, and he's playing with the members at Silver Lakes. He just loves playing golf, and I think you need to have that love in either part.
Yeah.
I mean, you wanted to be in the golf industry for a long time. You're now doing great in the golf industry, but you love golf, right? You love playing golf. You're not that great at it, but
It's been a while. I still hit it far, but I'm actually going through that process right now to make sure that Arthur is guiding me into a bit more stability in golf. Okay. But also,
what's
just like
now?
7.
Okay,
I'm a 7 at the moment, but I tell you,
I think he can get to a
2.
2-3. You give him 3 months, 3-4 months.
Okay, that's good. That's encouraging. Thanks, thanks for that belief. But also, Andy,
short game.
Short game. I mean, yeah. I mean, I would say my chipping and stuff. I'm still got, but
The problem is his basics are poor,
completely poor.
But he's got the ball skills to manipulate, right?
Okay.
So I think for him, getting his basics a lot cleaner is going to do this to his dispersion pattern and actually know what the ball is doing, because he was basically a hit and hope with zero understanding of what he's doing. His thought process of how he thinks he does it to where he is completely opposite.
Get down to him, Shalali, and go and see Emil, because he's a phenomenal short game coach.
Yeah, we should take a trip down there.
Yeah, we'll definitely. That's me and you are definitely going to go and meet Andy then. Go and paint the town red a little bit. Just like Andy, when I walk into your academy, it's definitely impressive from start to finish. Mm-hmm. And the fitness side, and I know we're going on a little bit, but that fitness side to me, and just the way that everything, the branding that you've done, you're quite right. I can see. I never knew that. But now that you say it to me, I definitely see you've got some branding guys involved. And like I said to you this morning, the simplicity of your website, it's complicated, not complicated. There's a lot of information, but you can go into individual arm of it and understand exactly what I could extract out of it as a value to me, my kids, or whatever it might be.
Yeah, I get complimented on our website quite often, which is quite nice.
Yeah, and I like your brand look.
Not an expert in websites, but I thought it was almost the...
Don't say president. You're going to say that? That's exactly what's in my head.
When I saw that, I was like, that's almost like the President's Cup International.
Yeah.
There you go.
And in the President's Cup, it's actually two flags coming together to join the two sides of it.
Well, it's got the M.
The shield. You've got the shield there.
It's the M for McKenna and the P for performance. And the A and the T for African Turf Academy.
Okay, and then the shield around it?
Shield. Oh, that was the branding guy just encouraged me.
It off.
Yeah. He encouraged me to have a shield.
I was so fortunate not too long ago, sat in Johan Immelman's house with his wife June, and we were watching Trevor make his first appearance on his CBS Sport deal he just recently did. And as you know, Mark's also big in podcasting and coaching that side, really, really highly rated. And he sat there in the house, and I turned my camera to them, and then he gave me official cap from which I've got here, and my laptop, you'll see official
sticker.
From the President's Cup, and I tell you what, I said to him, you know, that's the type of stuff that I can fit into my wallet, but it means the world to me.
You're never changing your laptop ever again.
Never again, because I can't lose that logo. So Andrew, really, what an honor this morning, and we bless everybody that's involved there, and every parent that's also in there, and good luck with navigating the Silver Lakes, which the Real Housewives of Pretoria has highlighted to all of us.
Yeah, luckily I haven't seen one episode of that myself. And I don't intend to watch anything.
I haven't watched an episode, but I've seen some clips go around of people literally just taking the mickey outside of some of the people. But
I think I'm the only person who lives in Silver Lakes doesn't speak Afrikaans. half the things that I said in that show I wouldn't understand anyway.
Andy, all the best to you, and thanks for coming. Arthur, same to you.
Thanks for your time. I think I just want to conclude for our listeners, you know, the fathers, the parents and whatnot. I think a lot of parents, you know, love the game, or their kids love the game, but are very nervous of the fact that if they don't make it as a tour, and then what is the backup? What is the backup plan? And I think his structure that we've discussed today is unbelievable, because for me, in my mind, you know, when I was on tour, I was like, what is my backup plan? If I'm in a car accident tomorrow and I lose a leg, what now, you know? So I think that just clarifies to the parents and to the listeners that there are options that is almost like a safety net. You know, whether it's greenkeeping, you know, course management, you know, playing on tour, whatever that is, you've got that.
So the students do two qualifications with us. They do an international sports turf qualification, which we run through the UK, through St Andrews, and we do it. We've just rolling out a full business management diploma with the Council of Higher Education. So it's a full business qualification. So that's not aligned to golf. We try and have the two speaking to each other. Yeah. In the material, but it's a proper Council of Higher Education tertiary qualification. So it's exciting times to be moving up in the education ladder as well.
What you just said there, and congratulations on those moves, Andy. You just keep impressing me. What you just said there, you know, was so relevant to what we had a discussion with Michael, and there was a moment which is getting quite a few hits at the moment, a clip where he asked Arthur what went wrong, you know, after obviously coming from the tour. And you spoke about the fact that at some stage you just didn't love it anymore the way that you used to, the traveling, you know, and you wanted to know, what else do I do in golf? And that's where the fitting is. And it's so amazing, Arthur, today you are certainly, I mean, if it's not even an emotional one, you are one of the most sought after fitters on a particular level that not everybody does. I mean, the consulting you do around the world, and some of the moves I know you're making, you know, so it's not easy to pivot. But if you are, if you've got that foundation, whether it comes out of an academy, a junior school, whatever that might be, that will carry on you in life.
But with education, it's quite cool because you can play with it as well. You can, they call it laterals and verticals. You can go sideways with education and go higher. And you could also bring in a fitting qualification to the academy. Mm. I don't know. I'm not an expert fitter. Very, but you could write a module on fitting and have a have it accredited.
I like
and
that.
And then you could create fitters and it could help grow your brand. And so
and also the other thing is getting staff because –
that's a big problem.
We're growing and we're opening up soon at Umhlali, but I don't have someone to operate there. So, you know, and that is...
And you want a young, passionate guy
who loves the game,
who wants to grow himself, so he's prepared to start out in the industry and make an impact. So you can grow from within.
100%.
So we can
you see, just by talking, we're moving places and just growing ideas.
You have just planted a massive seed in it. In that, Arthur, that's something we really need to talk about, because fitting at the moment is a retail fitting, you know. It's not ball, shoes, iron, driver. Mm. It's driver, iron, and then ball.
Well, I would even go wedge, putter, then ball.
Yeah, even sorry, wedge, putter, even ball, which we know is not always the right approach. But yeah,
that's a
whole different conversation.
A whole different conversation for another episode, because we can go crazy in that. But also to finish off what he just said, you know, becoming a master in flight scope, you know, just that technology and education from an educational level point of view will open up your brain. From a technique point of view, then you can educate yourself, you know, by having the system.
And it's it just shows the diversity of the golf industry. It can, you know, some people are suited to coaching. Some people are suited to retailing. Some people are suited to managing a golf course. We would like to attract all of them and open the doors up to all of them. And if we have touch points on fitting and touch points on coaching and touch points on rules, and I mean, Neil Holman came in and did the rules exam for our students, the RNA rules exam. You never know where you're going to end up. Because it's, you know, I didn't set out in my career to have a turf academy.
Yeah.
But it's evolved and, you know, it's been great.
And here we are. Well, bless you both. Have a wonderful day. And Andy, again, thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed this episode.
It was very cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On the next episode of The Human Golf Show.
We've got a travel group. We actually call ourselves the OGs on WhatsApp. But no, good. It's we some good mates. Different levels, but we come together with a similar goal and we try keep things as fun as we can. You know, if we stay together, we must say it's quite luck in the evenings.